Well, welcome everybody to the Ag Market Network, June 12th edition of our monthly cotton market teleconference. My name's Pat McClatchy. Our program is sponsored by BASF. They are, as you know, the owners of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed, and we appreciate them for making this possible. We got probably a condensed version of our program today. A couple of our regular panel are not going to be able to join us. Dr. John Robinson is leading us, and he'll be joining OA Cleveland to talk about the crop report and about the cotton market. So, John, thanks for leading us off.
All right. So I'm going to start by reminding everybody that we're in this somewhat brief in-between period of May and July when we've really got two reports to consider from USDA, one being the changes in the old crop balance sheet compared to last month. And then, we've got the changes in the new crop balance sheet that compared to what they published for the first time in May. So I'll touch on both of those. But fortunately, the changes in the old crop situation and the changes in the new crop situation aren't many and they aren't large. And that's because the old crop situation is so very late into that marketing year, we wouldn't expect a whole bunch of changes because we're running out of time, and the numbers ought to be what they are. And I wouldn't personally expect many changes in the new crop situation either, because it's just way, 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 way too early. And we didn't see huge changes in either one. But let me just touch on what they did adjust compared to May. So looking at the old crop world balance sheet, there was the outcome of ending stocks was only a little under a half a million bales, 490,000 bales, most of which was due or could be attributed to changes in the U.S. balance sheet, which mainly resulted from them cutting the old crop U.S. exports by a half a million bales. They did that. They said the reason was that due to the pace of actual shipments has been subpar. By my calculation, as of last week, we needed to have been shipping something like 330,000 bales per week, and the actual shipments have been more on the order of 170, 190, that sort of thing. So we weren't making it on the shipments. So they cut the export number. Now, that's not as bearish as it sounds, because if it's a matter of just not making the shipments, I expect those exports to happen. They'll just get rolled into the next year. So I wouldn't put a really bearish negative spin on that. But that was the major adjustment in both the U.S. old crop balance sheet and as it influenced the changes to the world balance sheet. There were a few other tinkerings in the old crop world numbers. They involved beginning stocks, which were raised in Central Asia to the tune of 310,000. They were cut in China to the tune of 120,000, and those carried through to the ending stocks for the old crop and the beginning stocks of the new, which I'll discuss in a second. Other than that, there were just a few other minor changes. I think Turkey, this again, I'm talking old crop situation. Turkey was down on their imports by 200,000. Pakistan was down on their imports by 100. And they were, both of those countries were also down similarly in their domestic consumption. But that was really all the change compared to May for the old crop situation, which, you know, again, I expect it to be increasingly settled. So I didn't really expect a whole bunch of new changes there. So we turn to the new crop balance sheet. And here, the changes in the ending stocks that I just mentioned for the old crop carried into beginning stocks changes. So the world beginning stocks is up a half a million bales. Again, mostly due to the fact that the U.S. beginning stock situation, new crop, is up by 450,000 bales. And Central Asia starting off a bit higher. Australia starting off a bit higher. Australia 200,000 bales more. Brazil 200,000 bales fewer. And China 120,000 bales fewer. again, carrying through to the ending stocks number without that many changes. There were no changes to imports. There was barely any change to new crop world domestic use. There was only a very small change to new crop production. So just not much tinkering, which, again, is not surprising to me because it's so early that I don't know how firmly you could stand making an argument that something ought to change when we haven't even started the new marketing year yet. The bottom line was of the new crop world ending stocks number was 480,000 more bales of ending stocks, which is a neutral change. So we're still just in wait-and-see mode. We'll see how this year unfolds. So not a lot of fundamental information to make a price prediction or to conclude much of anything, really. The one thing I will point out was in the old crop situation, they did have the roles of Brazil and the United States flipped, in that Brazil in the old crop is showing 12.4 million bales of exports, with the U.S. being cut to 11.8. So there's an instance of them overtaking us, which was more eloquently pointed out by our friend Lou on Twitter an hour or so ago. However, in the new crop balance sheet, it shows, or it's forecasting, that the U.S. Exports would be back and above Brazil. So I hope it, frankly, hope it works out that way. That's Pat. That's really all I would say to just summarize. Relatively small changes in relatively few places, and we need more time to see how the year actually unfolds, the new crop year, to be able to speak more intelligently about it. In terms of prices, I think about new crop December. I've been leaning on a seasonal index of December futures, kind of in the manner of Moore Analytics, the way they do it. I've built an index of average December futures prices through the year, and on average, the December contract tends to peak in the first and particularly the second quarter of the year, and then you have a big downshift. And the way that the actual December 24 contract has been trading, it's following that pattern, but it's just kind of it's peaking earlier. It's had its downshift earlier, and we're kind of trading now, where a month or two ago I would have thought to see the December 24 trading this fall. So I don't know whether to conclude that we've just sort of jumped to the end, or whether there's a little bit more. What I want to say is I expect a little bit more rallying, just because we still are operating in a bit of a world of uncertainty. We don't know how much has been planted. We don't really even know how much was ultimately intended and then was messed with by rainy weather over in y'all's world in the Mid-South. And there's always uncertainty that can unfold quickly particularly in West Texas. So there's still enough uncertainty in the crop to give us that kind of second quarter, early summer rally. So, I look at that and think, all right, if we're 70, what are we, Pat, 71 something right now?
Let's see. We got a settlement here today in the December of 71.65.
So I think we've got some room to bounce around to reflect the uncertainty of the crop size and other and demand conditions that could take us back to maybe 78 or so. But then what I'm really wondering about is, have we hit the lows early, or is there the possibility of slipping under 70 come harvest time when the uncertainty goes out of the picture? So If you had to pin me down on a 10-cent trading range right now, I'd say 68 to 78 in the December, just kind of thinking about how much time and question marks are there to be figured out.
All right. Away, what are your thoughts on the report and also any thoughts on price?
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, John. I would say, as John indicated, just so few changes. I actually expected some more, but certainly we take those. I did not think they would reduce exports more than 400,000 bales, and they did the 500,000, which obviously was very merited. And some would suggest that it really just sets it up for another 200 or 300 bale reduction next month. Well, we'll just have to wait and see about that. And as John indicated, that what we don't ship will for the most part be carried over to the following year. But again, much of our, with China being our principal buyer now, and Pakistan being our second largest consumer, much of what we are selling to China is not going into what we would call the consumption from a textile mill standpoint. It's going to storage in China. China has been rebuilding their supplies just as they do from time to time with various commodities. China's been the big horse driving gold price for so long. Everything I'm hearing now is that China's slowed down their purchases, and gold has slipped a little bit, but also gold is up. I know this is not a gold program, but it relates to the inflation. Gold is up about the same amount inflation is up over the last 3 years. But as we look at exports, and John commented that Brazil has overtaken the U.S. as the number one exporter. Of course, several years ago, the big news was that the combination of Brazil and Australia had surpassed the United States. And that was huge, and I think that is now history. That will be for, I certainly don't say forever, but that's going to be for the next good number of years that those two countries will surpass U.S. exports on an annual basis, which certainly had never happened before. Brazil will probably continue to increase their production and will continue to challenge the U.S. for world trade leadership. And I would tend to think that they will actually take that from us. The U.S. has lost its comparative advantage around the globe, as we're seeing with Brazil and Australia, and it's just something that we failed to win that battle, and so it makes it more difficult. Looking at, again, that export market or the production market, that situation, we are seeing an outstanding crop in Australia, as John mentioned, and it's the point we need to remember there is it is also a very high-quality production that they're harvesting this year. Not that they don't always have dadgum good quality, but it's better than their typical crop. So that's going to present a lot of problems for us as we move down the road. John's 10-cent range, 68 to 78. Hard to get around that if we want to limit it to a 10-cent range. I'm still extremely concerned about going down as low as 65 cents. That's not much lower, but it is lower. And as John indicated, it's just going to depend on what kind of weather we get out in West Texas. And if the big dryland area south of Lubbock gets the moisture, that much of that area did get excellent moisture here this past week, but it's got to have more. Pre-conversation, John was suggesting that South Texas has been getting some good moisture, and it definitely needed it. That says a lot. We noticed that on Monday's trading, Monday's trading, we lost a couple of cents, or 300 cents, in the market, and that was, in my opinion, very much related to the rainfall over West Texas and into the rolling hills. So we've got to be extremely concerned about that as we move forward, because Texas still has time to have a huge crop. It's a little bit too early to say we are definitely going into the 60s, because if they don't get that rain, they're in trouble and the market does come back up. I continue to be my major problem, and y'all, everybody's just worn out with me for continuing to talk about it, but it's the only thing, in a sense, that makes the market, demand, demand, demand. There is very little demand for U.S. cotton. We don't compete anywhere. We've lost that entirely. We're not promoting U.S. cotton like we used to, and until we decide that cotton is important as a commodity, we're going to be in trouble price-wise until we start promoting it. I'll shut up and see if we have any questions, Pat.
All right. Well, heck, let's just see if we've got any questions here. I'm going to unmute this phone And if you've got any questions out there, please direct them to our speakers. Once again, I'm about to open this up. It might get, if it gets loud, we'll have to turn it off. But if you've got a question for our speaker, feel free to ask it. Any questions out there about the cotton market?
I'm impressed, everybody. That's not certainly the intention, but it's just too early to bull up on this market.
All right. Well, I'm gonna mute this thing again if we don't have any questions. Sometimes you do such a good job, there's just no questions, and evidently that happened today.
or you dodge a bullet.
any other closing thoughts here for John? You were OA.
Go ahead. I'm left wondering how the normal scheme of information flow will be the same or different. We do have an end of June acres report, which should be influential as it usually is. We don't have the proven yield data anymore, so it seems to me there's this kind of extended period of time for the resolution of the question how big the crop is, and I don't think that's going to be really resolved until we get ginning and AMS classing data, which, you know, is we're talking about October, November, December. So it seems like there's more room for uncertainty than before, and I'm just curious to see how that plays out.
Well, John, I would agree with you 1,000%. That's the key as we move forward. The one thing in the report today that is just a USDA estimate, a USDA forecast, they did lower the expected farm price 4 cents over last month's estimate. They dropped it down to 70 cents, which suggests that USDA is very concerned about demand as well. And that's just a song that we've worn out, but it's reality and it's economics. Thank you.
All right. Well, if we don't have anything else to cover here, let's just wrap this up. We want to thank BASF for making this possible. Thanks to John Robson and OA for going over these important issues with the cotton market. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network.